Washington meets Hollywood in an attempt to recreate the January 6th narrative. Washington also meets Hollywood by welcoming an Oscar-winning actor to speak on gun control from the White House press room. An assassination attempt is made on Supreme Court Justice Brett Kavanaugh in the wake of a leaked rough draft opinion about the possible overturning of Roe v. Wade. Just some of the stories explored on today's edition of World News Brief. Welcome to our recently relaunched World News Brief. I'm Bob Siegel, hosting today as part of a monthly rotation with other hosts, Jim Barrier, Mike Friedenberg, the one and only JP, and of course, the creator and original host for World News Brief, Winston R. Holland. All great guys. I am honored to share this program with them. Some of you already know me. I have been on World News Brief before, as well as Crosstalk. I also do my own daily Monday through Friday podcast here on the CGM Radio Network. In fact, today, the subscribers of the Bob Siegel Show are receiving this episode of World News Brief instead. Go figure. So technically, track with me now. Technically, this means that today the Bob Siegel Show is preempted in order to bring you a show with Bob Siegel. In as much as news and politics is a recurring subject anyway on my program, this shouldn't be much of a change for my subscribers, with the exception of different theme music. But however you're listening, it's great to be with you. There is a lot going on in the news. I'll bet you're not surprised to hear me say that. We don't do a news program because there isn't a lot going on in the news. There's always something going on, especially these days. Some of the news is horrific. Some of it is tragically predictable. But there is also some hope, such as the great red wave of 2022, which will hopefully make midterm history. But I start today with a television event that took place Thursday night. I'm going to describe this event by reading aloud from the New York Post. This is an article that they put out before the first in this television series. They were reporting ahead of time on a new collection of documentaries, and here now are the words of the New York Post. The January 6th committee has reportedly tapped a former top boss at ABC News as a secret advisor to craft its upcoming primetime hearing on the Capitol riot for a television audience. James Goldston, who served as president of ABC News from 2014 until early 2021, has been working as an advisor to the House Select Committee and quietly producing the hearing. Goldston previously helmed Good Morning America and Nightline. The committee tapped Goldston to help convert a cache of documents, depositions, recorded footage, and other materials related to the January 6, 2021 Capitol riot into compelling television for those who have not closely followed the proceedings. The broadcast is being treated as if it is a blockbuster investigative special, Axios reported. The hearing, the first of several planned by the committee, will purportedly feature a mix of live in-person witnesses testifying about the events, as well as pre-recorded content. Goldston is reportedly attempting to capture a raw feel that will hook journalists with fresh material to cover, as well as members of the public watching at home. Before I go on, before I continue reading from the New York Post, just a quick sidebar. House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy reminded everyone that Goldston covered up an important story about accused sex offender Jeffrey Epstein. He said in a tweet, "I am deeply concerned that ABC News chose to bury the truth about Jeffrey Epstein's role in human trafficking." That was from Kevin McCarthy. Just thought I'd mention it, just to be thorough. Back to the New York Post report about the January 6th documentary. The Democrat-led committee is also said to be planning to reveal never-before-seen photos and video from January 6th. A representative for the January 6th committee declined to comment. The evening time slot is a departure compared to typical congressional hearings. Most of the other planned hearings will occur during the day. Former President Donald Trump and other prominent Republicans have long opposed the January 6th committee, arguing it is a politically motivated exercise. Proponents say it is a necessary examination of the events that led to the Capitol riot and a broader effort to overturn the 2020 presidential election. Again, that was from the New York Post prior to Thursday night's first of several broadcasts coming up. Wow! Never before seen footage is going to be in this series of documentaries. I'll just bet that won't include eyewitness testimony to any discussion of President Trump offering ahead of time to call in the National Guard and Nancy Pelosi saying she doesn't need them. And what about Capitol Police opening pathways for people to enter the building? Why was that going on? And was that an FBI plant caught on video saying to the crowd, "We need to break in"? The crowd sure thought it was someone like that. They shouted, "Fed, Fed." What about the footage of Trump supporters openly resisting those who called for violence? We only have private footage of that. Official videos will not be released by Pelosi regarding that. Neither will she answer any questions about why she didn't have the Capitol Police ready ahead of time. Why should she answer? Her party is in charge of the Justice Department. Who's going to make her answer? My friends, here's what's going on, and what's going on is obvious, but let's explore it anyway. January 6, 2021 is being exploited, right? I know that. You know that. Any thinking person knows that. But they're making this series of documentary specials because they're hoping a lot of stupid people don't know that. The Dems see that their nightmarish policies are being rejected by most Americans, not merely Republicans, but many in the Democratic Party and independents, those who are classically liberal but not leftist Marxists. Right now, Joe Biden has an approval rating below 40%. They know they will lose the midterm election of 2022 if things continue as they are. They know they'll get the shellacking of a lifetime. It will be a red wave high enough to make a tsunami blush. If, and it's a big if we actually have a fair election. And so, in order to survive this impending disaster, the Dems need to get our minds off of defunded police, open borders, revolving door arrests and violent criminals set back out on the streets without bail, Keystone pipelines being shut down, and Joe Biden kissing the behinds of the Saudis begging them for oil, men winning women's track meets and swim meets because they call themselves women, grade school kids being separated into people of color or people of white privilege in order to enact a blatant racist agenda which disguises itself as teaching against racism, and while children are separated in the classroom, they're using the same bathrooms and locker rooms should a boy decide he's a girl or a girl decide she's a boy. A white woman who wears an Asian-style dress to a dance is accused of cultural appropriation, but a man dressing as a woman is never accused of sexual appropriation. See how it works? Parents who complain are being characterized by our Justice Department as terrorists, while real terrorists, such as the Taliban, had Afghanistan handed back to them before Americans could get out and after the U.S. military had been withdrawn. Shall I go on? Not the best accomplishments in the world with a midterm election in the wings. So how do they get our minds off of it? Well, they started out earlier by making January 6th a national holiday, at least to Democrats, a time of reflection on one of the greatest assaults on freedom our country has ever known, supposedly. Also, now, by making January 6th a television ratings blockbuster. Well, maybe it will be a ratings blockbuster. Personally, I think more people will be watching Channel 44 show a documentary on how to assemble a flashlight. But Nancy Pelosi says the January 6th break-in was an attack on democracy, and she is but one of many spouting this historical revision. Look, I don't approve of the Capitol break-in. I said that right away after it happened. I said that on the air. But the rally being held that day prior to the break-in was being held out of a concern for democracy. People felt the election was stolen. Maybe you don't agree, but the fraud cannot be denied. They may debate whether or not it was enough fraud, but even if you wanted to ignore the Dominion machines and the 1,000-plus sworn affidavits of people at polls and people at post offices witnessing manufactured ballots, it's an illegal activity. Just look how many states before the election illegally, unconstitutionally changed their own election rules in the name of COVID and safety, violating their own state constitutions and again, violating the federal constitution. At the very least, you must concede that people had reason to demand an investigation. And that is why the rally was being held on January 6th. The amount of people there are estimated to be at least 1 million. Some have said 2 million. Hard to know for sure, but the Washington Post, no conservative rag in any way, shape, or form, puts the figure at about 85,000 protesters. The Post also says 1,000 was the number breaching the Capitol. So does ABC News. Some estimate a smaller figure, but even if we use the 1,000 figure, that's an extremely, extremely small percentage of the people there that day breaking into the Capitol. Now, let me quote someone who is conservative, but has not traditionally been much of a Trump supporter. Nevertheless, he calls things as he sees them. I'm quoting Ben Shapiro. The event resulted in one direct death. Rioter Ashley Babbitt was shot by a Capitol Police officer and some $1.5 million in property damage to the Capitol building. The Capitol was cleared within hours of the riot, and Pence and then Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell promptly presided over the certification of the 2020 election. Those who broke into the Capitol or even trespassed have ended up in jail. Meanwhile, by contrast, the Black Lives Matter riots of 2020 resulted in some $2 billion in insured property damage and likely billions more in uninsured property damage. 24 people died, and the resultant political movement against the police led to an unprecedented nationwide spike in homicides in major cities. To date, there have been no commemorations from CNN, speeches from Biden or Harris, or a day honoring the police officers who held rioters in check. That was Ben Shapiro. And again, it was a very small fraction actually breaking into the Capitol building. That happens with crowds. Crowds get out of control. Of course, Donald Trump officially offered 20,000 National Guard troops ahead of time, but he was turned down. I would say, however, that showed concern from a man who did not want a few bad actors to ruin an otherwise peaceful rally. This was a rally on behalf of fair elections. This was a rally on behalf of democracy. This was a rally protesting stolen democracy. But Pelosi says that since the Capitol was attacked, it was an attack on democracy. Oh, really, Miss Pelosi? That's your concern? Okay, let's go with that. If a small percentage of protesters getting out of hand and breaching a building is an example of attacking democracy, then I just have to ask, where was she when the White House was attacked by Antifa? Where was she when the federal building was attacked in Portland? Where are the Democrats right now to condemn the attempted assassination of Justice Kavanaugh? Did you know that Jen Psaki a while ago, when asked about the leaked memo and asked about the fact that people were going to the homes of the conservative justices, encouraged it? That was the Biden administration officially encouraging something against the law. It is against the law to protest on the private property of a judge who is presiding over a case. It should be against the law to protest on anybody's private property, but it's at least against the law to do that with justices. And so, the Biden administration was officially encouraging people to break the law. By the way, Democrats gave out the addresses of all the Supreme Court justices, the conservative ones. Isn't that nice? Getting back to January 6th, other questions. If this was an insurrection, how come those who broke in were only charged with trespassing? Oh, I know. The Biden administration and his so-called Justice Department is looking to get them charged with a lot more than that. But why were these trespassers locked up for over a year while people charged with murder are being released without bail in major cities? Guns concern them. Threats against justices do not concern them. Violent criminals released without bail do not concern them. Welcome to the upside-down world of the Democratic Party. Here's another question. Why was President Trump accused of instigating the violence when he himself wanted the National Guard there and he himself at the rally said, and I quote, "I know that everyone here will soon be marching over to the Capitol building to peacefully and patriotically make your voices heard." And even more questions, such as questions Ted Cruz asked an FBI representative at a hearing. Did the FBI incite violence or participate or actually commit violence? She said she was not free to answer that question. Why not? if the answer was no. Now, a lot of what you just heard from me was review. I have made these points on the radio before because this discussion about January 6th has been going on for a long time. It's been rekindled with this television special, series of specials. I went through it all again because I wanted to give you a preview of what you will not be seeing or hearing in the ABC documentaries. Hollywood, the world of fiction, Mary's Washington, the world of lies. Sounds like a match made in heaven. But January 6th is not the only event in which Hollywood and Washington have joined forces. After meeting with President Biden and different members of Congress, such as Nancy Pelosi, actor Matthew McConaughey was invited to give a speech about gun control. Matthew McConaughey had already been quite vocal about the horrific shooting at Robb Elementary School, inasmuch as Uvalde is his hometown. He properly criticized social media for overemphasizing the event. He said, "It's time we reevaluate and renegotiate our wants from our needs." Early in his remarks at the speech, McConaughey said, My wife and I, Camelia, we spent most of last week on the ground with the families in Uvalde, Texas, and we shared stories, tears, and memories. That's very much to his credit. A lot of actors do not take the time to go out and talk with common folk. Look, I like Matthew McConaughey. He's an excellent actor. In this particular case, he seems to mean well. He appears sincere, and in his case, he was asked to speak in the White House press room. He was asked to inspire people. He was invited, unlike Beto O'Dork, who interrupted a news briefing for people who wanted news of their loved ones in order to have another moment of politics in the sun. Kudos, by the way, to the Texas police for throwing him out of that gathering. But McConaughey was invited to speak, and I can't blame them for inviting him. If I were part of the Biden administration, I too would be calling in someone, anyone other than our president select to inspire. Biden couldn't inspire a sweat gland to sweat. Biden couldn't inspire a hungry cat into eating a bowl of mackerel. However, well-intentioned as this speech may be, I do need to respond a little bit. While a lot of it was good, especially the part about not overturning our Second Amendment, we need to remember that most people who call for stricter gun control laws do give obligatory nods to the Second Amendment, all the while whittling away at the Second Amendment. It's like saying, I believe in the First Amendment, but speech still needs to be responsible, and speech still needs to be sensitive, and speech cannot be filled with hate, after which some arbitrary definition of hate is supplied, generally defining hate as any speech that contradicts today's woke movement or today's LGBTQ agenda or anything that challenges the CDC and their COVID regulations. By the way, the same people who tell us to follow the science are the ones explaining that men can really be women. That's the science. But yes, McConaughey did embrace the Second Amendment, kind of. Sort of. He said, we start by making laws that save innocent lives and don't infringe on our Second Amendment rights. We start right now by voting to pass policies that can keep us from having as many Columbines, Sandy Hooks, Parklands, Las Vegas's, Buffaloes from here on. See my point? We will protect the Second Amendment, but we are also going to pass policies that restrict the Second Amendment. We need background checks, he says. Matthew, we already have background checks. He says we need to raise the minimum age to purchase an AR-15 rifle to 21. Matthew, 18 is the legal adult age in most states. During the Vietnam War, men could be drafted at 18. Besides, a criminal who wants to shoot people, a criminal with a criminal background, is not going to step into a store, legally attempt to purchase a gun, and put himself through a background check. He says we need a waiting period for those rifles. We need red flag laws and consequences for those who abuse them. Matthew, the states with the toughest gun control laws have the most crime and the most people killed by guns. Look at Chicago. Look at New York City. But then, who needs to be confused with facts when Hollywood meets Washington? Of course, Hollywood is only one place that comes to mind when we think of the show business industry. To be fair and provide equal time, let us also look in on Broadway. I'm reading now from NBC New York. It's the onstage outburst that has Broadway buzzing. Tony and Grammy Award winner Patti LuPone, starring in the revival of Stephen Sondheim's Company, was part of a cast talkback with the audience following Monday night's performance. Witnesses and producers said it was during that time when LuPone politely and repeatedly asked two people in the theater to pull their masks above their noses. And that's when she said, "Put your mask on nicely," said Addison Clover, who was in the audience with a friend. She captured what happened next on her phone as Lapone got right to the point. "That's the rule. If you don't want to follow the rule, get the F," you can use your own imagination, "get the F out," the Broadway icon yelled at the theater goer to cheers from the audience. "Who do you think you are that you do not respect the people that are sitting around you?" Clover fully supported Lapone's message. "Patty is just a queen. She was doing what we all needed to say," she said. Lapone also famously yelled at an audience member in 2009 for taking a picture during a performance of Gypsy and took a cell phone from a different theater goer during a 2015 performance of Shows of Days. The show's lead producer said that they stand with Patty and support her efforts to keep our entire community, from patrons to ushers, cast to stage crew, safe and healthy so we can keep Broadway open. The message is personal for Lapone as well. She had COVID and missed several performances early on in the run. For now, the star is taking home rave reviews from an unscripted moment on stage. All right, that was NBC News, New York. Rave reviews for this little outrage. Let me add a review of my own. I do agree with part of this. She was behaving like a drama queen. I have my own background in theater, from high school to college to present day, as a writer, as a director, sometimes an actor. Oh, I have met my share of drama queens. They abide. There's another name for them: prima donnas, stuck-up prima donnas, egocentric prima donnas. So was Patty acting like a drama queen? Yeah, sure, she was. Was it justified? That's the more important question. Was it justified? Of course not. This kind of behavior is never justified, although I should say I am at least sympathetic for that previous incident described when a person wouldn't shut their cell phone off. That is an ongoing problem by rude and clueless people in theaters and all kinds of places. But as far as the mask goes, we are not getting the entire story here from NBC. Of course, if you're waiting for good NBC coverage about anything, you must be the most patient person on earth. Fox News added more. Before I go on, I should say I have serious problems today with Fox News as well. They went dark on the fraudulent November 2020 election, and they won't even mention the movie 2000 Mules by Dinesh D'Souza. But at least by comparison to NBC, Fox sounds like words from Mount Sinai. Here's a little snippet from Fox. "Despite the public lashing from the actress, the woman Lapone yelled at didn't take kindly to the spat and screamed back, 'I pay your salary.' To which Lapone said, 'Bullshh, use your imagination again. Producer Harper pays my salary.'" Wow. I gotta tell you, when a stuck-up elitist gets it wrong, she really gets it wrong. If audiences didn't attend her shows, she and her producers and her shows would be out of business. And a person who pays more money than a down payment on a house for a Broadway ticket deserves an entertaining show, not a self-righteous, sanctimonious lecture about safety from an actress who, by the way, was not wearing a mask herself while this went on. But why should she? She's the queen. The audience was nothing but peasants sitting in the peanut gallery. What's next? I'm just waiting for the newest musical title to glitter with Broadway neon lights. Woke the Musical. Well, that's it for today's World News Brief. Join us again next week when World News Brief will be hosted by my good friend Jim Barrier. You won't want to miss Jim's insight on what's going on in the world around us. See you then.